A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus came into the district of Judea and across the Jordan. Again crowds gathered around him, and as was his custom, he again taught them. The Pharisees approached him and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. He said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" And they replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." Jesus told them, "Because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this commandment. From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. The two shall become one flesh. So no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate." In the house, the disciples again questioned Jesus about this. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. If she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." The Gospel of the Lord. Reading this passage is just after I've been reading carefully the chapter 8 of the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. If you ever sit in an exam in St. Paul and you can't remember where a quote is, just say chapter 8. There's a 50-50 chance you'll probably be right, since most of the good quotes that we remember come from that chapter. It doesn't sit very well with this gospel. The gospel says, according to Christ, the man leaves his father and mother, he's joined to his wife, and the two become one flesh. Interestingly, the Jerusalem Bible says one body, which is rather bad of it, because flesh and body are two different words in Greek, and the distinction is quite important. Paul, in the letter to the Romans, seems to think the flesh is sinful. He connects it with sin and death. Christ sent his only Son in the likeness of the flesh of sin. And concerning sin, he judged sin in the flesh. Then he says, those who think according to the flesh are thinking about death. Those who think according to the Spirit are thinking about life and peace. The thought of the flesh is death, the thought of the Spirit is life and peace. Yet Christ says, the two become one flesh. How does that fit then? Well, even in the Pauline records, there's a contradiction. In Ephesians, Paul writing about marriage, he says, no one hates their own flesh, but nourishes it and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. That's Ephesians 5:29. So even Paul sees some purpose in flesh, and as he says, the flesh is a thing we do not hate. And in fact, he, like the gospel, sees some connection between flesh and marriage. It's a great thing about Christianity that brought into the ancient world. In the ancient world, many believed in life after death, they believed in immortality, but immortality of the mind, the spirit, in Jewish terms. They didn't really see any point in the body itself was a sort of obstacle. Cared for it, ancient Athenians, of course, famous for their gymnastics and their constant exercising of the body and the oiling the body with oil and the human perfection, and then the possibly perfectly well-formed statues that we see from ancient Athens. All of that was something that was to be brought to a certain measure of perfection as a symbol of something greater. Flesh in itself was not important. Yet Christianity says the opposite. It says Christ came to redeem our bodies, our flesh, our humanity, our animality, if you like. It seems to be a contradiction. But then, which is what Paul really means by saying the thought of the flesh is sin and death. It's when we measure the flesh by itself and not by the Spirit, when we judge people by goodness of their flesh, the beautiful and the healthy we flock to, they're our friends. The sick, the deformed, the ugly we run away from, we fear and even despise. But Christ says that we should reach out to those who are in pain. Why leprosy seems to be such a key concern of Christ. And famously, of course, St. Francis began his mission by embracing a leper. We don't love ugliness, we don't love sickness, but we care, and we don't run away from it. and we believe in the power of the Spirit to raise our mortal bodies to fullness of life. But while we live here on earth, we are one flesh. The man and the woman are the greatest symbol and also the greatest means of caring for the flesh, caring for each other. We are male and female because we are mortal. It's only by that division that we can produce a human race that survives till the end of time. Each human being who's gathered to Christ will still leave behind him a world of humanity until Christ comes. The race depends on that. Maleness and feebleness are bound up with death and the fact of death, the fact of human weakness. And yet, although we are weak, we have to care for the flesh. In our time, a great challenge is to care for those who are stricken by various forms of dementia. People say they're not there. You say, well, they're not there, but their flesh is there. We can still feed them, we still care for them. We can feed and care and sometimes embrace. And even if we feel they can't feel us touching them, we still reach out to them because we believe in the Spirit that descends on the flesh and makes it whole. This is Paul's point. Spirit is not something over against the flesh. The Spirit is something that makes the flesh something eternal and wonderful. Not to be discarded, not to be abandoned, not to escape, but to be redeemed. We have a word for that, resurrection. That's why Christ too doesn't accuse his opponents of lacking wisdom, but rather having a hardness of the heart. The hard heart doesn't feel. The hard heart is immune to the pain of others, and so it doesn't love. Even when they feel that love is simply a choice, a thought, a fine idea, if it's not there for the flesh, it's failing. And the man and woman who become one flesh together, grow old together, perhaps suffer together, perhaps one will be enduring the pains of the other and concerned for the pain of the other. Protect each other, become strong in each other, belong to each other. In the risen world, all pain and death is gone behind us. The flesh itself is simply restored by the sheer power of the Spirit. Here on earth, we make use of the weakness of the flesh to make the Spirit strong, become one. All humanity depends on that love and compassion between men and women, out of which all the good things come. Including Christ himself.